This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It's time for Talking Otago with ORC.
And our focus for today's edition of Talking Otago is Enviro Schools. They have an admirable kaupapa to create healthy, peaceful, sustainable world through learning and taking action together. Sounds very positive. We thought we'd find out a little bit more about Enviro Schools with Lisa De Clark, who joins us now. Kia ora, good to have you with us, Lisa. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, morena. Nice to be here.
I've just grabbed a little bit of something from the website there about Enviro Schools, but in essence, if someone asks you briefly what Enviro Schools are all about, what do you say?
Well, Enviro Schools is really more of a philosophy. It generally tends to get put into the space of environmental education, but really it's a bit more about sustainability and figuring out holistic ways for schools to be able to create that healthy, sustainable world, usually through environmental action. So for a lot of schools, they'll be focusing on community gardens, composting, recycling, but it's actually a lot more broader than that. It's about how they can bring respect for diversity, whether that's cultures or whether it's biodiversity. It's also bringing in the narratives of the places where they have come from. So a lot of focus on Te Ao Māori. And then there's also building sustainable communities. And so that's bringing how they bring the rest of their community into the narrative of the school and build that healthy and peaceful world.
It is a nationwide program. Supported in all sorts of ways. What's your role?
Yeah, so I am the Enviro Schools Regional Coordinator Lead, nice long title, at the Otago Regional Council. And so regional coordinators, they essentially support the facilitators who are actually doing the mahi with the schools. And so it's very much a facilitated process. We don't pretend to be the experts. We definitely look to the community for those experts, and we make those connections for schools. And so as a regional coordinator, I'll be supporting the facilitators with that facilitated process, and just helping them wherever they need that support, whether it's connections, whether it's funding, whatever.
How many schools across our region are Enviro Schools?
We have 100 Enviro Schools in Otago. So that's around about 50% of the total schools.
And is that growing?
It does have a little bit of growth there. All of the schools in Central Otago and Queenstown Lakes, for example, are Enviro Schools. But we do have a relatively low number of early childhood centres in Otago, just simply due to capacity, really.
So the actions that any one of those schools might take to reflect their status as Enviro School might be different from school to school?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I have come across a school that is doing anything exactly the same as another school. It's very much a focus on what works best for the school, what is the actions they want to achieve, and I guess what the community is able to provide. So a really good example would be Papakaio School in, near Omaru. They did some really amazing work last year where they decided that their focus was really going to be about seeing what they can do with their rubbish, because rubbish is usually a rather large economic problem for schools. And so with the support of the principal, with the support of the board of trustees, the students did a waste audit. They went through and they just figured out what can be recycled or what couldn't be recycled. They started composting, and they went from, I think it was 131 rubbish bins a year being emptied to under 30.
Wow.
And so the principal's over the moon, because obviously that's a huge, significant decrease in cost, but also it really shows just how much we can actually make a difference if we actually put our thoughts and processes into that kind of action.
Presumably schools are integrating that kind of activity into their curriculum in general?
Yeah, absolutely. big focus on schools generally has some type of sustainable action. So the recycling from a lot of schools usually comes as a part of a wider sustainable project. Lots of schools will have units of work that they go through in a term, which will have a sustainable lens on it. So it is part of what schools are already doing.
How young do we start?
So we have early childhood centres, as I've said, and so we have children as young as, I guess you possibly could have at an early childhood centre, 6 months or so. And it does go up to secondary schools.
I guess if you're starting at that age, the hope would be, and I don't know how long EnviroSchools have been operating, but the hope would be that you're seeing that being kind of integrated into a way of thinking, a way of behaviour, and a way of having conversations around these issues so young that it becomes a natural thing rather than an extra step for someone to think, oh, should I look at this now through some kind of sustainability lens? If that lens is always on, that's a very different kind of form of being a young person than perhaps, you know, and that came out of education in my day, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. So EnviroSchools has been operating for around about 35 years,
right.
22 years in Dunedin. And certainly with early childhood centres, with the environmental sustainable lens, like there is significant community progress because whānau are usually very heavily involved with the young people at in early childhood. And the same is true for primary schools. Secondary schools is a little bit more challenging. But I guess because we have now have children who have been part of that process for so long, as you've said, we're seeing young people who can, you know, they'll get to university and they will be looking for possible employers that will be thinking about sustainable development goals. You know, if they can see greenwashing, they're not going to apply for that role. So we've got young people who have really got this switched on sustainable lens coming through, and they're now entering the workforce, and they can definitely advocate for what it is that they should be seeing in a workplace and what they want to be seeing as they enter that workplace.
In what ways are you getting people together to kind of share some of the ideas that are being generated through EnviroSchools?
So we run HUI across the whole of Otago. We have 19 for this year planned, three of which have already gone. And basically these HUI are professional development opportunities for young people, for the students, and for the teachers as well. And the idea behind these HUI is really just making connections, because it's several students from each school that will come to the HUI. They generally tend to be enviro leaders, but not always. And they make those connections. They see what other schools are doing. They hear some good ideas, and they take those back, and then they share them with their schools. And I guess the idea is really just to be able to build, you know, authentic practices within the schools, within the giving them ideas of ways that they can move forward with some of their actions and their goals, and, you know, helping them with a really specific plan as well. So it's not just about giving them the information, it's about helping them to plan ahead for that. And so with those young people, they take those actions back, and hopefully there'll be some sort of succession process so that their action isn't lost within the time that they're passing on to new students.
You mentioned at the outset that the wider community is very much involved in this too, and I guess that's through parents and so forth. But in terms of calling on that expertise that might be in a local neighbourhood, or making the connections so that some of the learning around Te Ao Māori, for example, can take place. Are those connections facilitated by your team, or does the school on the ground very much take the lead in that regard?
It can be a bit of both. generally it's usually something that all happens organically through the school. They're the people with the place and the whānau who are already involved with the school. And we find that even if they, you know, we just start having those conversations, those things generally tend to happen quite organically. We can guide people to the to places where they may be able to find more information, but certainly it's something that schools have to have that, I guess, the will and the action to be able to do before it's, things start falling in place.
Lisa, I guess it would be ideal for you to see every school in Enviro School. Is it the aim to continue to try and grow the program?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, we are restricted by the same thing as most other community groups. You know, their funding is a challenge. But for us as a as an organisation, what we're looking towards is, you know, making sure that the environmental education and the sustainability lens, even if you're not an Enviro school, you know, you don't miss out on that important information. So, you know, we're looking at definitely looking at ways at how being able to make sure that, you know, that important information isn't just specifically Enviro schools, it's for all schools.
Great to talk with you, Lisa. If people have got any questions around Enviro schools, they want to find out more, where's a good place to go?
Yeah, so you can find us on the Enviro Schools website. You can click on Regions and find Otago. And we have all the emails there for our team. And the best email to get us on is enviroschools, all one word, at orc.govt.nz. It's just as simple as flicking us an email, asking us questions, and then we can help you out.
Great to have you with us in the studio to answer some questions this morning. Lisa De Clark joining us from Enviro Schools this morning. All the best with your continued work there, Lisa. Thanks for joining us.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.